It's time now for Gina Gardner and Friends, the show that shares stories from inspiring people, from a wide range of expert guests, all focused on helping you live a happier, more successful, and fulfilling life. Gina Gardner is a multiple number one international best-selling author, motivational speaker, business coach, and trainer. She's the founder of Genuinely You and has over 30 years' experience of helping people step into their genuine, authentic power, personally and professionally.
Matthew.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
And now, here's your host, Gina Gardner.
Hello there, and a huge welcome to this week's episode of Gina Gardner and Friends. I am delighted to be able to introduce to you Deanna Radulescu. Her story is just amazing. She is a survivor of trafficking and so much more. And yet here we have a lady who is incredibly positive, who has turned all of those challenges around and made a very positive way forward. We're going to be talking today about, you know, dispelling limiting beliefs. But I am so thrilled to welcome you, Deanna, to the show. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Gina, for having me. I'm very excited about our conversation.
So before we get started, please, would you share your story? Because I think that puts things into such a context. Because sure. If you can dispel limiting beliefs with what you've gone through, then that will give other people hope that they can do it too.
Absolutely. So I'm the oldest of five. You know, when I was younger, my father was very abusive to myself and my mother. He ended up abandoning us at about age 15, myself and my siblings. My youngest brother wasn't even born yet. She was pregnant my mother was pregnant with my youngest brother. During that time, I had actually worked a couple jobs to help support my mom. And, you know, we had to go to the food pantry. So I experienced a lot of struggle and a lot of lack. I unfortunately repeated the cycle, you know, that they say, like, you repeat what you know, what you're familiar with, got involved with a very abusive boyfriend, got exposed to human trafficking and drugs, and just, he ended up abducting me one day, almost killing me, stabbed me in the arm. You know, it was a pretty traumatic experience. And even at that point, I still was trying to hold on to him, crying, and just like, even though he had done all that to me, I didn't want to let him go because that's very codependent.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting myself into counseling, really wanting to fix those pieces that have been broken at a very young age. And because of that, it took me a little while, but I eventually got out of the human trafficking, to like separated myself from all the people that I had been hanging out with, that I was doing drugs with. I was never an addict. I just liked the party. So I'm blessed in that regard that I didn't end up on the other side of that. So, you know, whereas some people, they just lose control. I ended up meeting my late husband, who was about 12 years older than me. Very successful, you know, millionaire. He pursued me for quite some time, but I just was not ready to get involved with him. And I ended up like giving him a chance. And, you know, it was a back and forth relationship for several years. He had a lot of issues because he was a big steroid addict. So I got away from the abusive boyfriend. And then I'm dating someone that is very much into steroids. And if anybody has ever been or with someone or involved with someone that does that, it's a very psychological drug. and their thought process is very different, especially when it comes to sex. So he ended up having to go to rehab for sex addiction, love addiction. It was very bizarre, something that I had never knew that existed. I fast forward, you know, we ended up having 5 businesses together. It was, we were the ultimate power couple, but it wasn't a healthy relationship. It was where I was very controlling, never had like any time away from him, just like very negative towards my family, very negative towards everyone. He was more of an introvert where I am like very outgoing and friendly.
Yeah.
But we were super complimentary to each other in business, and we grew our one business very big to about, well, before he passed away, $20 million in sales. And right before that, I had just gotten a contract for $20 million over the course of 4 years. So I had doubled the size of the business with one contract.
Goodness me.
Yeah. And yeah, that was a very big win for me in my career. In 2016, January 2016, he passed away. So because of the steroid use, he needed his third kidney transplant. So the last 2.5 years, 3 years of his life, I was a caretaker. I was running the business. I was, you know, I was juggling all these things. And I was administering dialysis at home, which at this point, after everything I had gone through with him, I could be a nurse.
Yes.
I don't wish that on anyone. It's a very intense thing to have someone's life in your hands like that, and having to just watch their levels and watch what they eat. And, you know, he had open heart surgery at one point, so I had to test his INR, and just, it was a lot. So I had watched him lose his battle with life. And then my life just went to a tailspin. I ended up getting back involved with another very abusive boyfriend. And, you know, the family had wanted to really kind of make me leave with nothing, just the clothes on my back. And I had to fight for quite a bit in court, even though my name was I had some ownership in the businesses. Yeah. They really tried to prevent me from leaving with anything. And so I had to rebuild my life the last 7 years. It's been 7 years now. And, you know, now I'm in a really great place. It's been quite the journey. I had a lot of friends say, like, I don't know how you're just so positive and not sitting in the corner rocking back and forth. And I'm just like, well, what else am I going to do? You know, I had mourned my husband because I knew he wasn't going to make it. He was giving up. He was crying and said he couldn't do it anymore. And just, I knew he wasn't going to make it. So I had mourned him previously. It was just hard that I had invested so much time building all those businesses to walk away with almost nothing. That was what really was hard to swallow, because, you know, we are an investment. We invest in each other. And when you build businesses with someone over the course of over 10 years, and then it's taken from you, that's a huge loss, including losing your significant other.
One of the things that strikes me is that, well, there's such a lot, but
sorry.
No, not at all. The patterns of behavior that so many people repeat, yeah. Even though at some level there's probably an understanding that the pattern is not to their best interest.
Yeah.
And what I'm really interested in is, you know, after your husband died, that you then went into the tailspin.
Yeah.
So what was it that actually took you out of the tailspin and set you onto a very different path? Because I think so many people think, well, there's nothing I can do. How do I manage it? You know, I'm destined to carry on in this negative way all my life. And you're absolute proof that that's not true.
Yeah. You know, I was just like, how am I back in this situation again? And I'm like, I've come so far and I deserve so much more, you know? And it was just a belief that I was worthy of having, you know, a better life and not having to go backwards, you know? And it was a hard pill to, so the man that I got back, the boyfriend I got involved with after my husband passed away, you know, it was very toxic. He was physically abusive, mentally abusive. You know, I had the police show up at my house because he was telling women that there were kids locked up in my basement. And it was just very bizarre, like the level of psychological abuse that I went through with him. And I'm just like, how am I here again? You know, like I just, it was so crazy to me that I had attracted a man like that after having a very successful life for a very long time. And then that's what I fell back into. So, you know, I just realized like, this is not for me. I've come too far and I deserve better. And so I was alone for a very long time after I got rid of him. And it took me a while to get rid of him because he was living in my house. And like, I had to, you know, it was difficult to get rid of him. And from that point, after being single for a while, I just started, you know, I had to work on myself. I had to focus on like not wanting to attract that anymore and just really stabilizing things around me and finding my peace, finding my happiness. Because after watching my husband pass away, like lose his battle with life, it really puts things in perspective. You know, we are only here for so long, and people tell you this all the time, but until you really experience it, it's just like, wow. You know, this like puts things in perspective. Like, you know, we have a responsibility to just to always to grow and be better people and to treat others better. And whatever we've gone through, we're teachers too. We have to teach others that, you know, that life can be better, that even though you go through all these very traumatic things, that there is light on the other side of that darkness. And I've come to a place where if things are going bad for, you know, even though I'm positive and grateful and happy and peaceful, we have bad days, right? So I know when I'm starting to go through something that's a little bit more, you know, challenging, that there's something great on the other side of that. And so these last 7 years have really shown me that all these different struggles I've gone through, there has been incredible growth and opportunity at the other side of those challenges.
We've got to go to a short break now, but when we come back, what I'd like to explore with you is some of the strategies that you've used to take yourself from that very dark place into this incredibly positive and successful place that you are now, because I think that would really help our listeners understand, if they're going through challenges, that there are things that they can try too. So please don't go away. We'll be back in just a minute.
Catch me smiling when you look my way. Yeah, I'm back on course now. It's a whole new day. Now I love Mondays. Mondays are working for me. I can be the person that I want to be. Now that I'm certain, my Mondays are working for me.
Find a job you'll love at reed.co.uk.
I love your place.
Thanks. Could you grab some carrots?
Sure. What's this?
That's for Pepper.
You keep dog food in your fridge?
It's not dog food. It's fresh pet. Real meat, real veggies.
That you feed your dog. So it's dog food.
You were so right about her.
Fresh Pet. It's not dog food. It's food food.
Welcome back. Deanna and I are talking about, you know, how do you get rid of limiting beliefs? Because limiting beliefs are really that cage that keeps you trapped in patterns of toxic relationships, of behaviors and approaches to life that really keep you stuck in a negative pattern. And you heard before the break that Deanna, you know, went through the most incredible range of traumas that hopefully most of you who are listening, you know, have not actually been through any of them. Or if you have, you've been through one or other, but not all of them. So Deanna, what were the strategies, having decided I deserve more? You can't just flick a switch and you go from that pattern to being highly successful and positive. What were the steps? Can you identify some of the steps that you went through that could help our listeners who may be going through challenges now?
Sure. There are many. You know, I think that depending on where you are in your journey, whatever you're going through, if you're having to rebuild your life like I did, or trying to heal yourself from abusive boyfriend, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with mindset. And, you know, I know that a lot of people talk about mindset these days, and, you know, it really depends on how they talk about it for people to connect with it. But I really worked hard on changing my mindset. I forced myself to sit just with myself in silence a lot, just to be comfortable being by myself and not wanting to fill up all that empty space with chaos, you know, because I think that when we are in that state of trauma and really not experiencing the best life has to offer, that we fill up those empty spaces with things that aren't good for us. So whether it be drinking, drugs, bad boyfriends, that was very difficult, you know, just to sit there and find the peace and the silence and just really work on that inner voice that's, you know, causing a lot of chaos or perhaps drawing that negativity to me.
Before you go on, I think you know, one of the things that many people find very difficult is that being quiet, letting go of the white noise, being with themselves. And I think that we're wrongly named as a race. We ought to be known as human doings and not human beings,
yeah.
Because it's so easy to get caught up in the doing bit, isn't it? Rather than taking that time, being prepared to sit and perhaps to start with, be uncomfortable about being with ourselves. The other thing I want to perhaps just reflect back to you is that strikes me is there has to be some honesty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To let go of the BS that we tell ourselves about we're not worthy and we don't deserve and all of those things. Yeah. And that it's so easy to lose sight of that when you're surrounded by activity and busyness. But looking at yourself in the mirror, you might not like what you see, but being able to accept yourself without being critical and judgmental, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't like this. I want to move on.
Yeah, for sure.
So your mindset was important. Really, really get that. So what other steps did you take?
You know, I think it's really important. I do this even to this day, you know, and I highly recommend it to anyone, no matter where you are in your life, is always fill yourself up with positive words of affirmation, positive words of motivation, positive words of anything that inspires you. I watch a lot of motivational videos on YouTube. I'm always reading something that is going to, you know, just fill up my cup of affirming what a great person I am and all that I'm capable of. You have to believe and you have to start putting in those thoughts that I deserve better. I am worthy. I am abundant. I am peaceful. I am loved. You know, these are things that you have. I put stickers all over my mirror. I was just like, okay, I'm like, during that time, I'm like, I have got to just really radically change my life, because, you know, life is short. My late husband is proof of it. And I can't live my life in a state of chaos anymore. I deserve better. And so it was a lot of different little things, you know. I'm big into counseling, so definitely did some counseling as well. I think that it's important to process with somebody who is, you know, neutral to your life, and just really actively make behavioral changes as well, you know, because I'm very high energy. And if I have an idea, just go for it. And, you know, I think that some of my energy attracts, you know, it's good. My energy is good, but it attracts people that want to be a part of that energy and perhaps sometimes not the best element, if that makes sense.
It does. And I think one has to be discerning about the people that you allow into your inner circle and whether they are energy vampires or they're energy batteries. And, you know, I think there are times when there are people in your life that it's very difficult to exclude them from your circle because perhaps they're your family or they're your boss or your colleagues, in which case there are ways to protect yourself. But I do think that the people you spend your time with, the most time with, it's really important that they have your best interests at heart and that they give as well as take.
Yeah, for sure. That was a hard lesson to learn as well. you know, now I surround myself with family and I've got some really great, you know, a few great friends in my life. You know, I'm plenty of acquaintances, but you know where to invest your time and, you know, what's it going to be a reciprocal relationship that is beneficial to both of you. And that was something that, you know, I didn't always have the best friendships, but now I have great friendships, yeah. People that I'll probably know for the rest of my life. And that's a beautiful thing for me as well.
I think that's so important. The other thing I would say that strikes me really strongly about our conversations, both the conversations that we've had prior to the show and today, is the difference between seeing yourself as a victim to circumstance and seeing that you can take radical responsibility for yourself and yeah. how you turn up in the world and the choices that you make. And I like to think of we are each the author of our life story. So if you're going to write a life story, isn't it better to write yourself a great part rather than write yourself the part of a victim? You know, what comes across so powerfully is today there is nothing of the victim about you.
No. And I don't want to live in that victim mindset. I think that it's great that you highlight that. I think that when you have gone through so much trauma, chaos, lack, you know, it's very easy to say, woe is me, woe is me. You know, and I like to say, like, there are no victims, only volunteers. And not to say that what you've been through isn't, you know, you shouldn't be compassionate to. Being compassionate towards others that have been through something is different than allowing them to be a victim. And I just refuse to be that, because if I'm always in that victim mindset, how's my life going to get better? How are things going to look better for me? Because that's contradicting. It's, you know, those two thoughts and those two ways of thinking they contradict each other. You can't have both. You can't be a victim and live a peaceful, grateful, fulfilling, abundant life.
I think that's really a powerful way of looking at life. And I think for those people who believe that life is unfair and that, you know, that life, it shouldn't happen this way. And, you know, it's everybody else's fault. It's the economy's fault. It's the boyfriend's fault. Ultimately, we have to take some responsibility for the choices that we've made.
Yeah.
Without beating ourselves up, but recognizing that we have the opportunity to make different choices moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, that's been a big learning lesson for me as well.
And I think, you know, whatever your circumstances, I think that's part of our life lessons, isn't it? That
yes.
Even if you go through a pretty easy life, the magnitude of the challenges that you've gone through is huge. Yeah. However, everybody, moment by moment, has the opportunity to make good choices or bad ones. Yeah. And even if it's that simplest level in terms of what you put in your mouth, ultimately, yeah. those decisions have consequences, and it's recognizing that that's actually up to you. We've got to go to another break, but when we come back, what I'd like to talk about is you have the most amazing podcast and you're doing all sorts of wonderful things using the gift out of your learning to help other people. And I'd like to talk about that when we come back. So please don't go away. We'll be back in just a minute.
They ordered pineapple. You gotta smell the butt to know if it's right.
You're not doing. Make it quiet.
Precious cream always in the bag.
Because cream rules everything around.
All right, chefs, we gotta go get the beans.
Sink the eggs with big bro.
Yeah, what I mean.
Chef, they definitely said pinto beans.
Actually, they want fava beans.
Doing so good at this.
We get groceries. DoorDash.
92% of households that kick off the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
Yeah. Actively using it as a coat rack.
Congrats on 50 rides!
Okay, but it's still just a fad. Just an elitist fitness cult.
Come on, guys, I know this isn't easy, but we got this.
You'll give up eventually.
Seriously? 92%.
92% stick with it, so can you. Visit onepeloton.com.
Welcome back. So, Deanna, tell us about the podcast, how it started, what it's designed to do, and its amazing successes.
Thank you, Gina. So after these last 7 years, or during these last 7 years, I pursued my dream of becoming a fashion designer. I was successful in the regard that I designed beautiful clothes. I created a great brand for myself, and it allowed me to really step into using my voice, which I had not always done before. I pursued that for a couple of years. I was on the runway in Rhode Island at forgetting what it's called, Style Week. Then I was a finalist for the Cadillac Design Challenge here for Style Chicago. I created three beautiful collections, just high quality. Then my final collection, I did a huge event against human trafficking. That was because of what I've been through. I was really drawn to, you know, learning a little bit more, like, how did I get involved in that? Why wasn't I more aware that this is out there? And I partnered up with a charity, and it took me about 8 months to organize it and put it together, get a team. I had about 300 people come to the event. I had six other Chicago-based designers, and it was a fashion show with an auction, silent auction. We had alcohol sponsors. We had a ton of sponsors. Just, I put on a magnificent event. It was absolutely amazing. Very proud of what I did. And I just told myself after my third collection, if my fashion brand doesn't take off, I'm going to just, I can't keep throwing good money after bad. I think had I did a little bit more research doing that, I would have been a little bit more successful. And who knows, I might go back to it. So after I was done with my fashion career, I had received a email on how to start a podcast for under $100, which there's more that it takes a lot more than that to produce and keep a podcast alive. I didn't know what a podcast was. So this was in 2019. And I talked to my best friend, I talked to some family, and I was like, I don't know who the F I think I am, but I want to start a podcast. And at that point, it was just a passion project. It was really about getting rid of the labels that we carry on us, mm-hmm. all those self-limiting yep. labels that we have on us. And I had a lot during the last 7 years. I was a widow. I was completely broke. I was an abused woman again. You know, I had all these labels that I've carried with me through life because of all these different experiences and just like what I experienced after my husband passed away. And I was just like, I don't care anymore. I don't want to carry these. These are too heavy. And so there it started. I remember my first episode, I had to have a bottle of wine. And it took me like 10 times to do that introductory episode of Label Free. And that's what it's called, Label Free, to live your best life, live label free. And over the course of the last 3 years, it has really evolved to something bigger than myself. I feel like just like yours. I mean, we are, I think our mission is very, very similar. And I think that it's, you know, great that we're so united to make the world a better place. But it has evolved to something bigger than myself, where people are really connecting with the message, because mm-hmm. I really feel that so many people feel that there are labels that they put on themselves, or that others or society puts on them, that really prevent them to stepping into their truth, stepping into their purpose. And so my guests now are people that have broken free from whatever that is and are really living a life dynamically on their own terms.
Sounds fabulous. Where can people get hold of you and or your podcast?
I'm everywhere just like you. You Google search Label Free or Google search my name, I'm going to pop up. But I'm on all your favorite podcatchers, Apple, Spotify, you know, you name it, I'm there.
Deanna, thank you very much for joining me on the show. We've run out of time and it's gone so quickly. Thank you for listening. Remember, as listeners, you're doing good, because we give free meals based on the number of listeners who listen to the show. So people will go to bed not being hungry because you have listened. So please spread the word. You'll find lots and lots of videos to help you, positive videos to help you live your best life on my YouTube channel, which is Genuinely You with Gina Gardner. Please go and subscribe. And I'd love to know your story and what you think of the show. So please email me at Gina@GinaGardnerandFriends.com. Thanks so much for joining me. Thanks again, Deanna. See you on the next show. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening to Gina Gardner and Friends, the show that helps you live a happier, more successful, and fulfilling life. To learn more about Gina Gardner, go to genuinely-you.com. If you would like to work with Gina or book her as a speaker, email her at gina@genuinely-you.com.